Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
We're going to talk about this briefly with you. I began to share with you, if I don't cut it short, I will not be able to minister. Amen. And then as people of the Lord in the earth, we work with time. And so I will begin to talk about the topic that is being discussed at the moment is about tithes. Amen. Last week, by the grace of God, we began to share with you about tithing under the law. And then we continued with tithing established under the Levite, under the Levitical priesthood. And my chief scriptures started from the book of Numbers 18:21, Numbers 18:26, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 to 6. I mentioned the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 31, 4 to 5, Nehemiah 10, 35 to 37. I hope you remember all these scriptures. Then, and I concluded that one, tithing under the law. Tithing under the law. Tithing under the law. Now, there were also tithing for festivals or for seasons. Seasonal tithing. Also under the law. Now, listen, I'm teaching you tithing under the law. So under the law, I go to the Levite, then I go to festivals or for special festivals. Alright? That is where I'm going. So tithing for festivals, but it's all under the law. What they were practicing under the law. We in the dispensation of grace are not obliged to follow tithing under the law. For tithing under the fundamental biblical account, fundamental of the Bible, or the fundamental knowledge of tithing, was already established before the law. The law, in fact, was 430 years later. And Abraham lived and paid tithe, a tenth of all, to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was sent as a high priest, the high priest of the Lord Most High, to appear on the earth realm to take the tithes of Abraham and entered heaven with that. But when he came, he offered Abraham bread and wine. And it means something. There's nothing you read there that the Bible intentionally brought it, because there are a lot of things that happened in Abraham's life. It was not written. What was relevant, okay, in the accounts of the Bible was what was recorded in the fundamental or the foundation. So that you will know that that which is established is established. And the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. So if the scripture is found in the law, in the gospel, in Psalms, in the prophets, cannot be broken. There are stories in the Bible. You can just take them out if you want. But among the story, there is a scripture. When we talk about scripture, people get the scripture wrong. Scriptures are the enactment from God. He's the king. He ruled by decrees. So what he has spoken, that how I did this system, this is what governs it. This is what ensures it. So he preaches or he proclaims a scripture. And every scripture has the propensity to what? To cause a life to live. Or to cause a living. That every scripture has life in it. And can cause someone to live. If you live by that scripture, you become the scripture. What the scripture says to become, you become. So scripture don't abide alone, because they need what? The Spirit to cause manifestation of it. Now, scriptures are not letters. The Bible says scriptures of truth. That means there is a book in heaven you see that is called scripture of truth. As is in the book of Daniel. One day I will just take the topic scriptures and exegete on it for you to understand scriptures. There is a difference between letters and scriptures. I will show you. Rabado Shatakaya. When you don't know, you might think that scriptures are letters. The Bible said the Lord is that spirit. Now let me tell you, let me shock you. The Bible says something very profound. And I want to go there and show you what I'm talking about so that from there you can have understanding of what it means. Alright, the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, the verse number 10. He says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Where? Who prophesied of the grace that will come to you? So they went into the spirit, saw the scriptures controlling the grace and brought them out. So, when God was speaking, mene, mene, tekel, ofasin, when the Lord was speaking that word, he was speaking scripture. The audible voice of God. The oracle of God. But when the words were printed on the wall, and people came to look at it, it was letter. But when he spoke, it was scriptures. So if you needed to understand it, you watch it and you ask the one who spoke it. Then the interpretation of the speaking comes into you. That is what scriptures is about. So always I talk about the fact that it is not the recital of scriptures, but it's the know-how of scriptures. So the know-how of scriptures is the spirit. The recital of scriptures, it's a letter. You can be there and it there. So you can say, the just shall live by faith. The just shall. It's not in your heart. You are reading it. It's not in your heart. You are reading it. And the car can come and run you through. Another will take this one. Enter the spirit with it. He becomes a part of it. The just shall live by faith. The car will get there and the engine will break and will stop at his. And he said, wow. Lot of people will marvel. Without the spirit, let me tell you something. If the scriptures themselves, the Bible says that the scripture foreseeing, that means the scripture is not an inordinate thing. The scripture is what? It has life. Oh my Satoka. The scripture is a person. The scripture is what? A person. He has a personality. The Bible says, when you talk about, you say, the scripture is a letter. You are mistaken. It's wrong. It's wrong. The scripture, the Bible says, the scripture themselves, foreseeing. So the scripture is a person. Do you know who the scripture is? He propounded everything. Without him, nothing was made that was made. The scriptures of truth. Now, when the Lord was, if you don't understand the holistic sense of scripture, you might just be on one side and air. Sometimes when some of our people have been there a long time ago, make some kind of proclamations and statements as against the kind of teachings that, like, the Lord has given me and has shown me. I was taught by the Lord, not man, mind you. For no man can teach a man to know the things that I know. Even as I've been teaching you, if I give you a microphone to start speaking about it, it will be very difficult for you. Is that correct? Now hear this. Jesus himself said, there are things that testify of me. And one of them was the scripture. He said, they are. He personalizes the scripture. So if you said the scriptures are letters, you are mistaken. You don't know what you're talking about. Now, you cannot also say that, okay, then if the scriptures are not that one, then the scripture is the law. No. The Bible says, is the law therefore without spirit? The Bible says, God forbid. The law is not by faith. That means the operation of the law is not faith. You don't need faith to know the law. Just read it and move with it. But the faith of the word is that when I teach you, you take it, believe it, communicate it, and then it brings results. So when you are confronted with a challenge, you must remember the scripture of truth that was taken and brought to you as a rhema. You received it, communicated it, energized it, and you bring it out to solve the case. That is the procedure and the process. So the Bible says that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So they are not what? Letters. Jesus said, the words I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and they are what? They are life. Somebody can take the Bible and burn it, nothing will happen. But let the person take the living word. So the word has been taken from the written codes and put on my heart. It's working. Take me to burn me. Nothing will happen. Why? Because John the Revelator was taken into the what? Into the oil. He was burnt alive. The guy was still in there reciting, as he is, who am I? Nothing happened to him. So the people concluded he is a god. Let's send him to the island of Patmos. We can't live with him here. Because this place is for human beings. Once he has ceased to be a human being, that is not his place. Let him go to the wilderness. The island there is where John received revelations, taken into the spirit. John had participation in the spirit. I want to make you understand something. John participated in the spirit. John bumped into angels. He shook angels. John, in his actually human sense, entered heaven, saw an angel who looked like Jesus. He wanted to bow. The angel said, see that you do not make a mistake. It was what? A reality. It was Adomic Hasata. It was no more revelation. Something higher than that. He had the experience, revelation experience. This is not just knowing what is in the spirit. This is when you are taken to participate. When the Lord takes you into the future and says, this particular house is not supposed to be here, so shift it from here to that place. Then you begin to shift it with the angels to another place. You are participating in the spirit. That's how some prophets are used by God. But when they tell you that interview, you cannot. Don't worry. Because they've gone to the day of the interview. Whilst you are in today, the interview is in 3 months' time. They've gone there, shifted the tables, massacred the people there. So no interview is being done. To promote others and leave you. No. So your own is that when they come back and speak, believe it because it has been done already. But men will wait until they get there and say, oh, it didn't happen. Then that's when they begin to jubilate. But the Lord wanted you to jubilate at the revelation of the word. So when you get there, it becomes a praise report. Am I talking to people here? Let your faith be so high. Ramanosata. The scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith in Christ Jesus, preach the gospel to Abraham. The scriptures preach to Abraham. So if you say the scriptures are letters, you are mistaken. Letters don't preach. The scripture of truth preaches the word. Lesatulegemasatash. So when somebody says, oh, he just recites the scripture. Sure. You don't know what you're talking about. You see, sometimes you lie. You are talking by a lying. And you are supposed to be a man of God from the Spirit. The Bible says this. Let me show you this one. I don't mean to offend anyone. No, I'm just teaching the word of God. Paul said, I too have the Spirit of God. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied the grace that will come to you. Now, there is a particular knowledge circulating in this earth right now that is so wrong. That what authenticates one's ministry is how long they've been around. That nonsense is so wrong. Did you understand me? Not because I just came, because otherwise, if that knowledge is with Jesus and that knowledge is in the scripture of truth, it means the end time people who will do short work, like John the Baptist, like Jesus himself, his ministry cannot be authenticated. What authenticated Jesus' ministry was how God used him to do miracles and good deeds. How Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all of them that were oppressed. The Bible says, if you believe, this sign shall follow them that believe. If you believe in Jesus, the sign that follows you is the evidence to everybody that you have God with you. It cannot be that the signs and wonders are not following you, but what authenticates your ministry is how long you've been around. Then the expanse themselves will talk about what? When I talk about the expanse are the kind of tabernacle that tabernacles the sun and the moon and the stars that directly rules the earth realm with their lights, both night and day. I hope you got that. Yeah. So what authenticates someone's ministry, and I do not seem to be controversial with this, no. This is knowledge, pure knowledge. What authenticates someone's ministry is not how long they've been around to be proved by men. No. So usually that becomes the reference. So it makes you that you just, they think you just came. And you see, you didn't just came. God trains a man and brings them on. At least this ministry is like almost getting to about 6 years in terms of ministry, worldwide world ministry. John Anochi ministry has been long. And it's older than Jesus' ministry. So what authenticated Jesus' ministry? What authenticated Jesus' ministry? It's in the Bible. He said it was what? The word of God, the power, the testimonies, the miracles, the good he did. And then he's spoken concerning the believers, but we've thrown them off. And we have become spirit testers. Now hear this. You cannot, at your level, test someone who is higher than you. And the Bible said the better ones came last. The reason why people are fighting the prophetic is because somebody is able to look at you and tell you your house, the tomato in your fridge, the water in your fridge, your color of your fridge, the position of your fridge, in your room, and he has never been there before. And they say it was never done like this. So they are in awe. Instead of them to praise God, they say it is of the devil. If somebody is the Lord Jesus speaking through a man, and the one who claims to know God's response is that it is from the devil, then that person is what? The child of the devil himself. It is either he's so flesh, he can't discern the voice of God, or he's lost forever. So the reason why I see men who are not with God is when they see someone who has visited heaven. Someone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, died, resurrected, ascended to heaven is not of God. It's a spirit of error, spirit of the devil. I recognize Jesus came in the flesh. Hayabusa. He walked upon the earth. He did miracles. He even identified money in the belly of a fish. Are you hearing me?
walked upon the earth. He preached the gospel. People hated him. They killed him. Went on the cross. Came out of the cross. Was buried. Went to the grave. Preached the gospel to the people who were dead long time ago. And then on the third day, the spirit of him who resurrected Jesus came and resurrected his body. Jesus resurrected. They were looking for him in the grave. He says, "Hail, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is alive forevermore." He ascended on the 40th day. Sat on the right hand of the throne of God. And he seated there as a high priest, making intercession, burning incense, morning oblation, evening oblation for our sake, so that we can connect to his altar. This is the spirit of the living Christ. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We don't scare you. We don't use the anointing everybody, because you are all equally anointed. I said you are equally what? We can all make mistakes. It doesn't mean you should be punished for it. For he has set liberty. Do you understand? We are liberated. We set. You see, that is why I said, where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We can make mistakes. Somebody can step on your feet as a man of God. You don't have to open your mouth and curse someone the Holy Ghost is pleased to live in. And still call yourself, "I'm a man of God." No, you are not. You are a man of your belly or the man of the flesh. Because these are the activities of the flesh. He said, the manifestation of the flesh is seen when we see these things. That a man of God takes a bottle and says, "I break it on the altar, I'll curse you." The one Jesus died for, came to suffer for, came to perish for, came to die resurrected for. You curse the person on the altar. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you're made of. You don't know what you're doing. So when you speak like this and people have ever cursed people on the altar, they will not like you. Because if they will like you, it means they are humble to repent. But if they are not humble to repent, they could not like you. Do you know that anybody who lifts up, who raises their voice to curse a believer has cursed Jesus? Because you live because of Christ. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Who lives? Jesus, he lives. Where does he live? With who? If Jesus be for me, who can be against me? Oh, so he lives in you? And what makes it so dangerous is that the spirit that raised Jesus also lives in you. And somebody says, "I've cursed you." You have cursed God. We are not in the Old Testament. Jesus, God, lives in us. You can't curse a believer. He can make a mistake. Yes, give room for that. The Bible even says, who among you, when your children sin against you, or they, like, it's an adage also, that when your child poops on your lap, will you cut it off? You will clean it. So the disrespect to you as a man of God by your children is also what? And you are not standing alone, you stand in the stead of Jesus for his people. So you have to give room in your heart for forgiveness. Otherwise, how would you preach forgiveness? When somebody offends me, I call the person. He says, "Son, call the person. Let's discuss. Why did you do this? I want to know why, so that I can help you solve it. Next time, there will not be any reason for that anymore. That's why I will call you. So don't be afraid when I call you that, oh, come. Come, we talk. Discuss. And I'll never do it here, so that I can gain you more." That is what it means. That is what it means. Let's go into the word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. I wanted to show you something. Of this scripture, the prophet have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. So when you check the prophet, you can see the grace that would come to you. The interpretations of the grace that would come to you, which has actually come to us. Today we are living in the reality of this word. Searching what or what manner of time. They even were searching the time. They were searching what manner of grace and what manner of time. It was searched by the prophet. So when Jesus came, the things he wanted to say was already searched and spoken by the prophet. So he went to the scripture and quoted it. He echoed it, period. He echoed it. He said, it is in the Psalms, the book of Luke, chapter number 24, the verse number 44, 45, says it all. That everything that was written about me in Psalms, prophets, and the law is what I've come to fulfill. That is what he says. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating. So the prophet, the reason why the prophet I recognize the Old Testament is because the Spirit of the Lord was in them, helping them to search in the Spirit what manner of, they were not searching their time. They were searching the prophecy concerning the seed of Abraham, which was prophesied to Abraham by God, that in you and your seed, so everybody was looking for the seed. Now, sometimes what baffles me is that if Jacob was not a military man, Isaac was not a military man, what makes the seed a military man? That they were waiting for some sort of military leader who will liberate them by the sword. Did Jacob liberate the people by the sword? What about our father Isaac? No. In fact, all those people who disobeyed their father and took the sword to go and kill the suitors of Dinah, there was a problem. They had issues with their father in the day of inheritance, in the day of reckoning. There was a recompense. Am I talking to somebody here? So we need to understand the scripture of truth and appreciate what God has done. And he says, indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. So they understood the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. So even Jesus was born, what happened in Ephrathah, they prophesied about it. In the land of Zebulun, Rahab's children were crying because there were killings of children because they were looking for one person. Such as when Moses was born, it happened. Glory. Sometimes because of one person that is born to the earth, there could be farming the whole world so that the person's mother in pregnancy will die. But the Lord will also send the ravens to be with you at the brook. Even when the brook is dried up, they will bring meat and bread for you to eat. There are many times angels have been sent to the earth to feed people, but they did not know they were angels. Glory. Lift up and say, Father, I thank you. So the Bible says the scripture foreseeing. So the scriptures foreseeing. So scripture can be in the book of the beginning, the book of Exodus, the book of the law, and it also can be in the Psalms. It can be in the book of Job. It can be in the book of the Gospel. It can be in the book of the Epistles. It can also be in the book of what? The book of Revelation. If you want me to really divide the Bible into sections, I will set apart the book of the beginning. And I will set apart the book of the beginning and to part of even the book of the beginning, the book of Exodus, the liberation of the people that God has chosen at the time to represent his name. And that's why he said they are holy unto the rest. So they were a holy nation unto the rest. So because they were the first fruit of his pasture. When God moved upon the earth, he set them apart and said, you are my first fruit. I've loved you. I've taken you as my own.
That's what he did. Thank you, Lord. Now let's go to the book of Deuteronomy and let's understand something there. Chapter 14, verse 22. Tithing under festival or for festivals. They tithe because of a specific word for festivals. It was a seasonal tithing. I'll just show you a scripture so that we move ahead, because the bone of contention of tithe is not here. I'm just giving you the knowledge so that you can also teach others and make them understand the word of God. Sometimes the reason why we shy away from questions is because we ourselves, we don't know. But I teach you all the basics so that when people ask you, you can go in there and then begin to talk to them about it. Now remember that I told you that the law, they were not supposed to understand. They were supposed to just know that this is tithe. Go and pay 10th part. Simple. But because the law was not by faith. So, but the law was spiritual, but it was not by faith. So what took you into the spirit was not faith, but was the law. And Jesus said, I have done away with what? The law. The law doesn't take anybody again to the spirit or to God. So by the deeds of the law, no man shall be justified. Therefore, if it is of grace, then it must be by what? Faith. So if it is the grace of finances, then we must teach by faith. Faith means that I have to teach the word. I have to understand it. Teach the word of God to your understanding. You must believe it and you must what? Use it and work with it and do it. Then you get the results. So every child of God in the body of Christ who want to just hear, as I hear, I'm just, you don't understand it. You are not doing based on understanding. By law, if I give 10, God will give me 15. It's law. It doesn't work. The determining factor is the Holy Spirit. You can't force him to determine how percentage he wants to give you. Sometimes he's going to give you 14. And you engage in an all-night worship. He increases it to 21. It is his own prerogative. That is it. Now let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, as I've quoted. And let Apostle help us.
Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22.
Yes, sir.
You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses.
There are people who say, we don't pay tithe in money. Have you heard it? This is the law. This is not faith. Faith means that what you are doing for God, if it pleases the Spirit, pleases you, is okay for him. If it's good for God, it's good for you. It pleases him. If it's found within the scriptures of truth. So somebody says, let's go back and he right here, we are reading it for your hearing. That if you cultivated a certain crop and then it yielded results and you were supposed to bring the tithe of the grain or the tithe of the oil or the tithe of the wheat. But the place you are supposed to carry the bags of your tithe to is long. So you can't carry. He said you redeem it with money. But this particular tithing they were tithing was a festival kind of tithing. It was a different principle. Now, and I want to show you how it was done. This was not based on the thing you have planted, but it was based on the year, the time. So this was a yearly tithe that you set apart. So you calculate all the things that you pay tithe seasonally, as and when you cultivate harvest. Then you tithe. There was a particular tithe you did at the end of the year. You calculate all the things that came and you brought the 10th part of it there. That one you have set aside is a savings to you. It's not to the Lord. It's for you. But that one you are supposed to come and sit in the church area or the synagogue area and eat it before the Lord. So we are supposed to bring them together and then we'll do a party. And then we eat it. But when we are eating it, we don't forget the Levite. We don't also forget
the orphans. We don't also forget the widows. We are going to be reading that one. So this is a festival kind of tithing. If you practice this under grace, it's law. You are not with Moses. You are Abraham's seed, not Moses' seed. He may be sent to lead the church in the last day procession, but you are not him. Now, there is a deeper scripture. When I'm teaching you about the spirit of the prophets is subject unto the prophets, you will understand that was the reason why one man stood there and God brought prophetic spirit, 70 portions, and distributed it for people. So 70 offices of the prophet reported to the prophet. Now, let me shock you again. That is when Aaron and Miriam is a prophetess, so she can also see and hear and prophesy. Is Moses the only prophet that God speaks to? Then God came to differentiate between Miriam and Moses. If there is any prophet among you, such as Miriam and the others, I speak to them in similitudes, in dreams, in visions. As for my servant Moses, the prophet, he's distinguishing the kind of prophet he is. I speak to him face to face. His prophetic office is the highest. I speak to him face to face. So when you are dealing with him, be careful. He's your boss. That is what God was saying. And God punishes Miriam for the sake of what he said. She said, and then Moses began to intercede. And God says, Moses, I've heard you. But you, the way I've heard you, if I just do it for Miriam, she will not respect. Even at least. And God gave Moses a proverb. If she was unclean for touching a corpse, she will be outside the camp for 7 days. So let her be there for 7 days. After that one, I'll restore her. So she was leprous for 7 days, and after that, the purification was done for her, and she had to come back to the camp. So when I'm teaching you that one, go deeper into it. For you to understand the offices of the prophet. The office of the prophet is not just a title. It's a place where you sit. It's a high place. Every prophet sits to judge. Every prophet has office, has altar before him, and he can sit and judge. I can take you into the book of the prophet and show you how that there are certain spirit beings who can purge things, but from the element of the altar. Those are darky the hazards. This one, if you have not read the Bible, you see people say, hey, it's only Jesus. Yes. When it comes to activating the mercy upon the altar for forgiveness, all time forgiveness, is only Jesus. But to take it and purge people, others that Jesus has brought in that rank can do it. He gave them that power. Apostle, let's go ahead. I want us to finish so that I can explain
verse
for
26.
The people of God to understand. Yes.
And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires.
Yes.
For oxen or sheep.
Yes.
For wine or similar drink.
So this tithe, you don't bring it to God. You are going to spend it. But there were instructions of what they must not spend it on. Funerals. Cops. Prostitution. You must not spend it on holy things because it was holy unto you. So you are a holy person. God has given you a holy tithe. At the end of the year, he wants you to eat it and make merry so that he will bless you. So the Christians, when we worship God, there is a day God expects us to have what? A festival. But we can't practice the same thing. We can have a festival and then the church will sponsor everything, or partners will be brought to sponsor everything so that the children of God will eat and make merry. We started it. Every anniversary of ours, there was a... People say, hey, this church, they can enjoy you. Yes. I was given the instructions by God. When we finally moved to our place, eh? Hey. Ando cinema nasha. All work and no play. And make Christ what? Because you are Christ at his appearing. Jesus, when he resurrected, he said, hey, be happy. So our life is full of joy now. That place, if you are with sorrow, when you get to the gate, we'll put it there before you enter. You don't come and see, there are people when they see the buffet set up. When they see the chicken, say,
before mom.
Didi. Amen. Didi. Didi. Amen. And drink. No. Drink. Sit down and eat and drink. Not alcohol, oh. There are drink you can drink better than alcohol. Amen. There are wine that makes your heart merry, not your mind scattered. There's one when you drink, it comes on your eyes. You're scattered. You see your wife, you call your wife house girl. So that is why the Bible says kings, we don't serve kings with alcohol so they don't misbehave before public. Are you a king? You must not feed on alcohol because it will make you misbehave before, because you are a king. And give a hard drink to the one who is what? Who is what? You are saying. That's what the Bible says. Let's go ahead and read the word of God here so that we can understand it. Yes.
Verse 26.
Yes.
And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires.
You shall
spend.
Spend it. Spend it. Whatever your heart desires. Now let's go ahead.
For oxen or sheep.
Yes.
For wine or similar drink.
For wine or similar drink of wine.
For whatever your heart desires.
For whatever your heart desires.
You shall eat there before the Lord your God.
You shall eat there. There's a place there before the Lord your God. Why is it you can't eat in your house? There's a reason. God wants to recognize your joy before his presence. He wanted to register. Angels were sent there to register. It was bringing togetherness. When the apostles, received the baptism of the Spirit, they did the spiritual one that Jesus had ushered them to do. The Bible said people went to sell their goods and brought it to the apostles' feet. And they distributed it to the poor. And the Bible said, there they broke bread. There was something called togetherness. They were breaking bread. It was eating, feasting. They touched the word of God. And at the end of the day, they broke bread and what? Did communion. They were feasting. So when we share things and we bless it, please eat some. There are people who are too spiritual. They are more spiritual than the Holy Ghost. Please sit and eat. Amen. Enjoy. Say enjoy. The old people were doing it. The law people were doing it. We are under grace. We should be doing better things than this. But we did them by what? Faith. It's not by force. The apostles did not do them by written codes. That's what they didn't include. They didn't write it that if you want to eat it, fast 3 days. After fasting 3 days, do this, do this. It becomes a law. No law. That's the point. Now let's go ahead, apostle.
You shall eat there before the Lord your God.
Yes.
And you shall rejoice, you and your household.
Yes.
You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates.
So in doing that too, we shall not forsake the Levite. So the food we are, and the money that we are buying to eat and all that, we also remember the Levite. So we give them something to chop. That one, there's no law to it. Whatever your heart determines to do, you just give them something to also chop. Then which one again?
No. For he has no part nor inheritance with you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year.
So that's it. At the end of every third year, then last year, you bring the tithe of the produce of the entire year. And you keep it there. That is for the purpose of the celebration. So it is what? A feast. Now let's go ahead, Apostle. So the third year tithe.
At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates.
Okay.
And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Amen.
So that when you do what he has said, then it's not to us, it's the law people. I just want to show you under the law. So this is actually a festive tithe. Now these are the scripture people have been quoting of late everywhere, and they can quote it. And say, hey, God said, don't bring the tithe to the storehouse. Bring it to eat it yourself. You see, you don't have understanding. You are misinterpreting the law to your own disadvantage. And I'm afraid for you. And sometimes they will say, the prophet don't know, the pastor don't know. Who told you we don't know? We don't know what? It's not relevant to us. That's why we don't teach it. But we know it. I've thought about tithe. I didn't even show you this one. Why? Because it's not relevant to us. But for the purpose of knowledge, let me teach you. So you can explain to the one who doesn't understand it. Even in that one that is a yearly one, he said, don't neglect the word. The Levites. So if they were Levites today, we would not neglect them. But today they are not Levites. There's a fivefold ministry. We are not Levites. The kingship belongs to Judah. Judah is being made to select the priest and the other priest. So the kingship is not with Levite anymore. Levi doesn't select a priest. Levi doesn't select people who worship God at the altar. No, it's the King of Kings, the high priest. Because the high priest is the one who selects from his family the priest, the two priests, who will come at the end. And then the other Levites who serve in their fivefold ministry. Classify them under five. That they will serve. That's what it means. So somebody say, I want the Levite before I pay tithe unto them. Then you have to go and pay tithe to your high priest, which is Aaron. Because under the Levitical priesthood, Aaron was your priest. Eleazar, Zadok. But our high priest is Jesus. Say Jesus. The Christ. He's our high priest. These are the things, the difference in scriptures and the gospel that we did not understand. Now let me go to another tithe they were practicing under the law. They were tithing for orphans and widows and sojourners. And that is what we have read, the 28th verse of the same chapter 40. Read it further. I just want to emphasize it so that you can understand it. They were tithing that you collect. Alright? It's not the priest collecting it. You yourself, you separate it out and give some to the Levite and give some to the orphans and give some to the strangers. And you eat the rest. So whichever way you interpret it, tithe was not for only someone, only you. Under the law. This one is not under grace. Now let's go there. Let me show you. Read it, Apostle.
Verse 28. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year.
Yes.
And store it up within your gates.
Yes.
And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, who are within your gates.
So, how many people? The fatherless, which is the orphans, the strangers, the Levite, and the widows. You share with them. Now let's go ahead.
So they may come and eat and be satisfied.
So that they may come and eat and be satisfied.
That the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do.
So that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands which you do. Now, are you understanding this one?
Yes.
So they were meant to give also. And what about there were special tithing? Tithing under stubbornness, tithing under disobedience, tithing under whatever. I want us to refer to only one book and then maybe support it with others later on. Because the bone of contention is not under the law. I just want to give you knowledge so that when you are researching, I have a lot of them. Okay? So that you can have understanding. So when you are researching about tithes, so you can group them tithes to the Levite, tithes at the end of the... So you see, to the Levite was according to when you harvest. But this particular was yearly. You couldn't do it anytime you liked. So it was a festive tithe. So you don't make news out of this. Now let's go into the book of Amos, chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. The prophet Amos. Oh, Rabada Shatakayani.
Amos 4 from verse 4.
After Joel, you go to Amos. Amos 4, verse 4, verse 4 to 5.
Come to Bethel and transgress.
Yes.
At Gilgal, multiply transgression.
Yes.
Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with levy.
So, there was a time they went to Gilgal. Gilgal means a place of blood or a place of sacrifice. That's where they sacrificed and it touched them. When they went to sell, when the people traveled from all over the places around Israel and went to Gilgal. And when they went to Gilgal, they went to sacrifice. But that is the place where they went to sacrifice. They multiplied in sins because God will accept our sacrifice. So let's do whatever we like. He will accept us. Then the Lord promised them that the prophet said, a day cometh where you come to Gilgal and bring your sacrifices. Pay your tithe every 3 days, but fool and see if it shall be done for you. So this is a special kind of tithe. They were doing it. And so people went to Gilgal and they went to a place like Bethel. They went to a place like, there was another place, Shiloh. So they went to Shiloh on a yearly basis with their family and went with sacrifices, tithings. So the tithing they were doing was more or less like sacrifices. So they were doing it every 3 days. Some were doing it every day. It was under special conditions. You cannot see this and apply it under grace. It's wrong. Because there's no basis of faith to it. So there will not be any grace attached to it. So he says here, come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal and multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning. So they were bringing sacrifice every morning. Your tithe every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the free will offerings. For this you love, you children of Israel, say the Lord. So it was something they were doing when they came to Gilgal or Bethel. That is the place they were doing sacrifices. So when we talk about the prophetic journey, there comes to a time in prophets like some people are prophetic that they must sacrifice. It's a season of sacrifice. If a prophet doesn't enter into that dimension, the prophet cannot be fruitful. You will prophesy, but it will not bless people. It will not profit them. You will speak, but it may try to delay. But another will come and speak, and then the manifestation comes. Then the people will just bring it. That's the difference between me and them. Opa. Amen. There will be what? Money. If you like, let me open my doors right now. And come here and see. The same number you are seeing here, you see them. Choose this. Test this. Even more. They wouldn't want to go give offerings to their churches, but they will want to. Why? Because there's something unique about how I conduct my things. Because it's by the Spirit. It's not by law. The Lord wanted me to pay attention to you. Sometimes if you yourself, you don't understand, you might be talking that right now he's not sitting as much. It's because of you. He said I should take time and concentrate on you, intercede for you, pray for you. I shouldn't be that busy with people who don't love him. Many of them don't love him. Many, of course, have loved him. They go around, so periodically we give them the opportunity, the chance. But now my concentration is on you. Haven't you seen that people don't understand why you are prospering? Haven't you seen? They question all the time. I thought I was equal with this one. No, they are not your co-equals. You are way higher in the realm of the spirit. The word you are feeding, you understand? The word you are feeding on is a higher word. Receive this higher grace to function in the higher realms. Now it conditions you when you are looking for land. You don't look for land in the lowland area where water will pass. You look for land at the hill. Amen. Are you hearing me? You want architects, you see the drawings, you know, this one is not what I'm talking. I'm talking about 21st century architects, backed by grace. When they draw and you see sophisticated, you know, the building is here, you know, when an armed robber enters the place, he doesn't know where to pass. That is you. You are like a puzzle. So many channels to you. Are you hearing my point? You are simple, but your things are very complicated. It's not easy for people to understand you. They want to know where you make your wealth. Be bold to tell them, listen, nobody's money has gotten missing. Anna, usika yura. Aye, grace. When grace is locating you, people can understand you. You told them that I have found a man like Philip and Nathaniel. He said, I found the man the scriptures revealed. Where is he from? He said, Nazareth. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? That's what I said. When you saw me and you said, I found the man, he teaches. Let's go to him. They told you, oh, my friend, I've been in that particular place for years. I can't shift. But when your shifting came, they are looking for. He may be doing some dubious things. When you hear this word, when you hear this word, does it look like people under this word will be doing dubious things? No. Genuine, legitimate grace of Jesus working for them. They have not seen anything yet. This is just the millionaire hood. We are about to enter the billionaire hood. Now the Spirit of God has poured himself upon us. The power from on high. Favor is working together for our good. You will not build by Ayabo Shata. You will not build by how long you've been around. You are building by grace. So then when they ask you, where did you get him? And say, it's grace. I say, what kind of grace? This is a higher grace. From the highest. Are you hearing me? Yay! I prophesied to somebody. One person said, God doesn't work like that. I said, what kind of God is he worshipping? Is it the God of the Word of God? The God of the Bible? The God of possibilities? Is it the God of Moses? Is it the God of Elijah? Elijah, that a chariot was running? Because they want to tell you that God is slow. My God is fast. He's the one that ran. He outran the chariot of Ahab. The chariot of Ahab is the chariot of the world and wickedness. The chariot, that is why Ahab was a man, a king of Israel. He associated himself with wickedness, which is what? Jezebel, which is satanic. So Jezebel stands for satanic spirit. And Ahab is flesh. Flesh. Elijah is spirit. So with the spirit of God, he outran the chariot of Ahab. You are going to outrun every system of this world. Do you know why? Because they feel that this pandemic has come and taking people's money, but you are prospering on top of the head of this pandemic. When they were afraid, we were already working. Amen? So when God is rewarding, he rewards faith. He doesn't reward fear. Receive rewards in Jesus' name. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are people the pandemic made them denounce Jesus. There are people the pandemic made them confuse themselves about the message of faith. Then they shifted their focus. They said, oh, science is faith. They forgot. But we said faith is faith. Jesus is faith. stand in the... You see doctors laying hands on the sick and praying for them. But you see men of God saying that, we can't pray, we have to go to doctors with signs praying for the sick. Faith. They were overwhelmed, so they put their signs off and began to pray for people. And the people were healed. I saw our nurses, some of our members in Europe, who were working, and all the other nurses got the COVID. Some of them died, some of them on life support. They were living, they tested them several times. There was no COVID. They wondered, why? What blood runs through you? There was one of them, they tested her. They said, as for this particular, about four times, said, now you have it. She took the test, she said, no, run another one, it's not true. They falsified the figure. They ran the test, she was sitting there. Then they ran the test, it was zero. No COVID. Zero. Firepower. Some of you say, I'm feeling the symptoms, but you check, it says negative. Do you know why? You see, a little fear entered, but it could not overcome the blood in which there's life. Because your life is no longer dependent on your blood, it's dependent on the spirit, faith. So the faith inside of you was stronger than the faith inside your mind. So your mind was telling you, it seems I have it. You went to test, they said, you don't have, don't worry yourself. Some of you, God was just showing you something. You feel it inside. Everybody around you did not have it. But you felt, oh, it was a sign to you for something. That don't drop your faith next time because you are a faith person. I'm telling you something. That we are of faith so that we will be by grace. Anybody who talks about grace and say, I don't believe, I'm not with faith. You are faith. Because without faith, you can't connect to grace. If it is by grace, then it must be by faith. It must be of faith. If it is not by grace, then it's not by faith. It's by the law. Or it's by whatever your senses will tell you. You will not make the word of God of none effect. Let me talk about the book of Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. The book of Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Thank you, Jesus. Please, are you learning something? If you are learning, give Jesus a wave. Say, I'm learning a lot.
I'm learning a lot.
Amen.
Amen.
So please don't practice the law. Just believe and do it. Tithe is by faith. It's not by law.
Matthew 23:23.
Yes, sir.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Okay.
For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin.
So, you pay tithe of mint. Mint is actually an odoriferous plant. Odoriferous. You need to get a bit of okra before you can pronounce that. Alright? That means it's a scented plant. It smells well. So they pay tithe of mint. Means, you know mint. You know mint. Mint leaf, yes. So they pay tithe of mint. And then they pay tithe of what?
Anise and cumin.
So they pay tithe of anise. And coming. Now, anise is like also like a dice or a die. Then coming is more or less like also it's a plant. But that plant, the plant is there's two things about this plant that I want to. It's bitter on your mouth. Or in your mouth, but it smells good. When you eat it, it's bitter, but the scent is very awesome. Very nice. That is, so they are very particular in paying tithe. That is what God means. They are able to differentiate small, small tithe. So 20%, they will pay their tithe. They will not forget to pay it. But when it comes to, because it is for their prosperity. But when it comes to this, what Jesus talked about, let's go.
And I've neglected the weightier matters of the law.
And you have neglected the weightier matters of the law. That gets you to the throne. So tithe is ensuring your prosperity whilst you live upon the earth. But the mercy, the weightier matters of the law is what?
Justice and mercy.
Justice
and faith.
And mercy and faith. So when somebody, and you see today, in today's generation, a lot of men of God say, "Me, I love prayer. Faith, 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 people." The law says faith is a weightier matter. Faith is what?
Weightier matter.
Because it's faith that connects you to the grace. So mercy, so be merciful and you shall obtain mercy. That is what gives you access to the throne. Come to the throne room of God boldly. Said, come to the throne of God boldly. Obtain what?
Mercy.
So that you can what?
Find grace.
So mercy leads you to grace. Faith leads you to grace. Justice also. When you reap the wicked out of the orphans, out of the hands of the wicked, the fatherless, the motherless, the widows, the poor widows, you attract God. God's grace come upon you. When you see the poor on the street and you don't help them, you see oppression, people oppressing them, and you don't help, you are helping them to oppress the people of God. God will ask their blood from your hands. So on the street, you see two people fighting. They are trying to lynch somebody. The justice system is that if you catch somebody, take the person to the police. Let the court decide. It's injustice. The person may be right. The person may be right. So, justice, mercy, and faith are the weightier matters of the law. But they neglect justice, mercy, and faith, and they go on. They are very particular about tithing. That is the only statement Jesus said about tithing. But because of the misunderstanding of many people, they've confused themselves. That Jesus said, don't pay tithe. No. He said that tithe is not as worthy as what? As mercy, justice, and faith. Because if you have to pay tithe, you need faith to pay. And when you pay tithe, it has to lead you into the grace of abundance. So you cannot be, you are wicked and you are paying your tithe. It's useless to God. You have to be merciful so that you can obtain mercy. This is the deep teachings of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean at all. You see, that's what I'm explaining. I'm taking time to explain to you. Sometimes you have not even checked off the tithe of mint, the tithe of anise, the tithe of cumin. You have not checked it. But I'm just giving you the information. So you are blessed by it. Amen.
So this you ought to have done without leaving the others undone.
Okay, so he says that don't leave the others undone. The ones you are supposed to do and not leave tithe undone. So you are supposed to do mercy, justice, faith, and still add what? Tithe to it. That is the meaning of the statement. This is English. This particular is English. Period. And this particular scripture was given to them in the book of Micah. Micah 6:8. They were given. Let's see the people who pay tithes and are very proud. Let's see under that one. Under the law. Jesus came to meet the law, so he was addressing them under the law. The way people were boasting with tithes under the law. The book of Luke chapter 18. Verse number 9 to 14. The book of Luke. After Mark, you go to Luke. Maybe you've forgotten. Now let's go ahead, Apostle.
Luke 18 from verse 9 through 14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And
they trusted in themselves. This is self-righteousness. So, if the Bible is yours, when you read like that one, you put self-righteousness. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Self-righteousness. So, the things they do that make them righteous is what they were talking about, not God conferring righteousness on them. Let's read the position of these people.
And despise others. Two men went up to the temple.
So because they think they are self-righteous, they despise others. You see, that is why a man of God who stands there to curse people on the altar, the people of God, not even evil spirit or evil people, people of God, is because they think they themselves are more righteous than the people of God. They offend God all the time. God forgive them. The people of God offend them little and they curse them. It happened in the Bible. Jesus gave a parable about that. Someone, there are two people were owing their masters. One, the master forgave. And he saw his colleague servant who was owing him. He dragged him into prison. And Jesus freed the one that was dragged into prison. And put the one he was owing that he forgave into prison instead. We should be careful. Let's go ahead, Apostle.
Verse 10.
Yes.
Two men went up to the temple to pray.
Okay.
One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector.
So two group of people. This one is using only one people, but they are groups. Let's see it. One a what?
Pharisee.
A Pharisee.
And the other a tax collector.
The Pharisee were people who were reputed for the law. They knew God too much. They knew the law, the letters. They knew it. It was on their fingertips. Like Paul. Saul who became Paul. A Pharisee. They were the ones who believed that there is the resurrection of the spirit. So they believe in ghosts. They believe in what? Angels. But the Sadducees did not believe in angels. They did not believe in that. Even if they see angels, they said no. Because of our belief, we don't believe. Now that was a crazy thing. Even if you see, still they don't believe it. Now let's go ahead. Let's see something. They were all with the Sanhedrin. They were all with the leaders. They were all in the tabernacle. They were all in the temple. They all came to worship God. So belief system was divided into several portions. So their faith was destroyed. But in the time of Solomon, David, there was no Josiah. There was no Pharisee and what? Sadducees. They believed everything the Lord says. But they have graduated. They have learned books. And the books were deciding for them which one they believe and which one they don't believe. They had forgotten the visions of their forefathers on Mount Sinai where they saw God. The glory of God. They saw angels. They saw trumpets. Heard it. They had forgotten about that. They didn't believe anymore. Now let's go ahead.
The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself.
Yes.
God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector.
So the tax collector was also praying. But tax collectors are called Republican in the Bible. That means they are called what? The ordinary people who were in charge of, they were employed by the governor or the kings to collect taxes from the people. So they collect the tax and they were bribery and corruption. Somebody come and say, I'm owing, but get this and let me not pay. Put figures there. Today they've been doing it. If you are a Christian and you do that, it's a sin. Yes. That you give bribes. Just plan to do well. Period. Now let's go ahead.
I fast twice a week.
I fast twice a week.
I give tithe of all that I possess.
I give tithe of all. The reason why he is righteous than the tax collector was because In a generic sense, tax collectors are evil people. They collect bribes. They cheat people. You know, like Nicodemus. He was rich by that means. Zacchaeus. Nicodemus was the teacher of the law. Zacchaeus, the short man. That man was short, but we had the original tax. Abajo. And he had become rich by extortionists. But so the Bible says he gave out of what he had bullied people, he gave 10, multiplied it. He did business with them and prospered. But he didn't have prosperity of the soul. Apostle, let's read on. Let's try to understand this.
Verse 13.
Yes.
And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven.
The guy was so sinful that he was not even raising, because what you bribe? So when he stood there, he was repentful. He couldn't lift up his eyes. I'm so a sinner. But he says what? Oh Lord.
But beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Be merciful to me. His heart was heavy. Be merciful to me, Jesus. I'm a sinner. Then what happened?
I tell you.
You see, these are things Jesus is saying when he was in heaven, were the things he saw. And he's saying them to us. And then what happened?
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other.
Just because of saying, Father, I need your mercy. And he was convicted by it. He went to his house justified. Then the one who stood and said, Glory! I'm not a sinner like others. I pay my tithe. So sometimes when something happens to you, he says, Lord! The reason why you must hear me is because I'm a tither. It's prideful. So Lord, this is your humble servant, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. This thing that has come upon me is for your glory. Help me, Jesus. I need your help. I long for you, Lord. You forget about your tithing and your this because it has direct bearing on your life, not his life. When you are paying your tithe and all that, you are enjoying the sweet. You are enjoying it. But because you don't have understanding, you think that the tithe I pay to you, look at you, Lord, you are not saying anything. I pay tithe to you. The Lord wants you to ask for mercy. That is why when you don't come to service early to pray for mercy, to also come and give thanks for mercy, you are lacking a lot. We are building mercies. Amen. So when you are even in the car coming, or your phone, your earpiece, and you are joining the prayer, you can be praying in your head so that you don't disturb others on the trotro. You can also be prideful in the trotro and say, Baba, daba, oh, Apostle Eugene is praying. Kata yapa, kata yapa, ya. Then you too, kata yapa, and somebody says, oh, you are making noise. Oh, can't you see my apostle praying? So, but you can pray without. You are Satan. Please, it's not like that. You can be praying your head, nodding. Or on your lips. Nobody hears. Somebody's trotro is what you are going to do. There are many people that sit in trotro. That is the place they want better couch. They want better couch to be there to sit in. So they sit there as though they are sitting in heaven. Somebody say pushes. Oh, I'm not pushing. Me. It's a very long time since I started in trotro. And even the trotro, it was by grace. The way I was sitting in trotro, the Lord himself knew that this guy on petrol trotro. I'm not going to have been a met now. You have invested in me, oh, make sure that Messiah too. Because they are trust. I bet you have a break now. I'm top putting out to free about down. Why will be there? Take trust from Kaneshi there, you understand what I'm talking about. The way they beat, the one they want to stop it, it's not by the horn, it's by pa pa pa. Ole, ole. And the trotro you are going to climb, you climb it too. It's bent on one side like this. It's like this. So when you are climbing it, the weight, it's like there's a push, but nobody is pushing you. So you have to be wild and you throw yourself in, and then be fast to sit. And the thing doesn't stop, it's still moving. All I hold for a second, and you jump into it. And this is the one you want me to go and sit in it and feel comfortable there and be drinking beer. and be drinking wine. Somebody drinking evil wine in the throttle, celebrating there. No. When will I have my own Jesus? If my mentality is like this, you know, somebody sit there, moth, who are tuna on the short breath, in throttle, no. And then you go and pass Coligono, their place. When you're still eating short bread, it's no longer short bread. You don't know what you're eating. So, you see people fighting in trouble because of space. No, sit small place. My mindset is that, Lord, you know that place, this place, I don't like here. Oh. I don't like here. I'm sitting for a time. I'm your son. Oh, I don't like here. That's my faith. I'm just sitting in it for a while, for the time being. So when he sees my heart, and I see a Porsche car there and I want it, he will just gladly want, permit it. Grant me the finances for it. It's a mentality. That is why I saw poverty is a mentality. If you are not delivered from it, you will still be like that. There were a lot of people. You see, the reason why Christianity is like that is because there were early people who came and taught the church that to drive a better car is Satanism. Thanks be unto God. Today, those people who preach like that, they are on television and they are driving V8s, V12, Mercedes-Benz. And when they are in, you can't see them. They can see you, but you can't see them. Because they lack understanding. They thought there's no chariot in heaven in the spirit. Even the prophet saw a metal bed. It means planes. If you were preaching that planes were from the devil, which one would you move from here to India to plant a church? Or you travel by land? Let the peace of God be unto you as you go. Our mindset was that every luxury thing is from the devil. That is why today when we see Christians in stuff, you know, luxury stuff, say, oh, listen. I will read the Bible for you to understand. I'll read the Bible for you to understand. Sometimes when people are worshipping the gospel and then there's a smoke. If you have seen sometimes when you're watching, there's a smoke that comes on there. There are people who don't like that at all. She had the church and she said, at a clubhouse. But when you read the book of Revelation chapter 11 verse number 15 going, the Bible said when the temple was open, the smoke that came out. Can I read it? So if we can't have the divine smoke and we can have a smoke to represent that one, just like we have oil to represent the divine one. Is it a thing? No. It's a mindset. It's not because the thing is not good though. Every nice thing is not good for the church. Look at them, they are spoiling the church. And the Holy Ghost is there. 11:19 says, then the temple of God was opened. And the Ark of the Covenant was seen in the temple. And there was lightnings and noises and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. Let me read another one for you. In the book of... Okay? Okay. The book of Revelation chapter 15 verse 5. After these things, I looked and behold, the temple was of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And out of the temple came seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in white, bright linen, having their chest girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. So it is in the church where we must depict that kind of aura, that energy. Where we are, Jesus, we say, Father, I'm blessed. Are you blessed for hearing these things? And what they hate is when they see the parking light, red, blue, that gives the effect.
COCCT. The church in our disco, no? Disco.
Have you seen chrysolite before? Who has seen emerald before? Jacinth before? Jasper. What about topaz? These are very colorful stones. I'll bring some here for you to see. I'll bring some for you to see. I used to trade in some, so I know. We have some in the earth realm, just that our own is not as finest as what is in heaven. If we didn't have it here, Moses wouldn't have gotten some to do the garment for Aaron. And remember when the offerings were being asked, they brought stones. Exodus 25, see it. They brought stones. Precious stones. Thank you, Jesus. Wave your hand and say, Father, I thank you. Rabbi, do you love God? Apostle, let's continue to the 14th verse. The book of Luke 18, 14, up to 14. Let's go.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
So people pay tithes with pride. Like, all tithes stand up. They stand up. Bring your tithes. The big man. Follow me. And if you can't walk like me, don't come here. Apostle, please stand here as you are coming to bless us. Thank you. Now, the priests who bless tithes, their height is like you. And their size is like you. And their jacket, everything is like you. All tithes come. I want three people to also come from there. Let's walk majestically. Amen. Tithes, follow me. Oh, some of the ladies should follow me. All tithes, come. Oh, come follow me. Sorry. Behave as though there's a shoulder part. Stand up and come. Yeah. Ahithophel kind of walking. Oh, there are some of them. Please, come, come. We are going to pay our tithe. So the man of God says, please announce, man of God. No, please pick up your microphone so that we can hear you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I want all tithers to come forward so I can bless them. Now, mom, what kind of mood you are trying to now?
Then pray for us. See, Father God, the giver of life. Hey, yeah, bom, pay my titles, the giver of life. That moody, I'm winning life, bro. I won't you tight. Okay. The titles. God bless you, titles. Where Coco T Titus? Titus. Amen. Man of God, tithes. God bless you. Are you hearing me? So that is how, you know, but when you study the tithes that Abraham brought unto Melchizedek, it was not in a church house. It was not in front of any service. So in a certain setting, it is for the priest. Let them put a basket or somewhere that the registry can manage. and inscribe the place tithe. When you go, you get there, you pray your prayer in the house and you come and pay, because it's like a tax system. You pay. So tithe is not given, it is paid. Anytime God will say, give free will of him. But when it comes to say pay tithe, the same content, you see, pay tithe. Pay. So you must believe it before you do it. You must understand it before you do it. Thank you, Lord. Clap your hands and celebrate Jesus. It's a robotic walk. No. I want to talk about, listen, there may be many churches that people will come front and give their tithe there and not even notice them. That is not, I'm not against any church or any place. That is not the focus. The focus is the mindset behind. The mentality is that if we call people front and we pray long prayers for them, it will encourage the others to also pay. No. Teach it. Let everybody understand. That I understand it, I want to do it. And let them be doers of it. That way, the Lord will see their heart and bless them. They will attach themselves to the blessing of tithing. So many people have done that. Pay tithe for ages. They've not received any blessing. Why? Because it's not done by faith, so there's no grace to it. If it is by grace, then it must be of faith. I want you to do tithe by faith so that you can get the grace. The grace is when God has spoken that, try me in this if I don't open the windows of heaven. It's grace. But you cannot connect to that windows of heaven without faith. Because everything that is positioned in the spirit, to get it is by faith, not by law. Malachi was not a prophet prophesying unto the law people. No. He was actually rebuking the people who were practicing tithe under the law, and they had done things according to their heart and bringing a dispensation. He was prophesying about Jesus, the covenant, the messenger of the new covenant, John the Baptist, who must come and prepare the way of the Lord. And he prophesied unto the new people coming that they will not rob God. And in tithes and offerings, you go to churches, the man of God believes in offerings and he condemns tithes. But that prophecy, he says, in tithes and offerings. So if tithe is not good, offerings are not good according to your standard. Do you know why? They think that the generosity of the church to give the 10th part of their income is wrong. No. Tithe is for a specific duty. And it is specified. Only priests qualified to take tithe. The priests have been set apart, consecrated. They are full-time priests. They don't do any other work. Every day, morning to evening, they are praying for you. You ever come to this house and you hear the pastors and the clergy is praying, attire, attire, attire. That is their work. And you see a lot of people unlearned saying that let the pastors go and work. They should disobey God because of your foolish heart. Or because of your lack of understanding or your misunderstanding or your confusion. They speak in pride, they speak in pomposity and their prideful heart. Why do you want me to address them in kindness? Because they see the word of God clear, they say they want to disregard it. I'm not teaching you because I want tithe. I don't. Listen, your tithe doesn't directly come to me. There are clergy in the house who are working. They have wives, they have children. They dedicate, they resign from their work. Apostle resigned from his work. When the Lord spoke to him, he resigned. When he was resigned, people were begging. They thought he was going to beg. But he that is faithful takes of people who have the clean heart. Has he ever come here to say, he will not do that? He will not do that. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He carries the word. So it's the word that comes out of him. I'm a tither. I pay tithe. And I've ever paid tithe to the source. And I can, so if it changes, I know that the source has changed. I pay tithe to my priest. Because that is where I get my prophetic messages. And he can call me. Or when I call him for him to tell him that, Papa, I'm ready. And so I want you to bless it so that I can just put it. It's okay. Lift it up. Father, in Jesus' name. And I knew. I pray in Jesus' name. Father, according to your word, let it be done unto him. In Jesus, I thank you. He's blessed. Every prayer of this man is thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, for his blessing. Thank you, Father, this. Thank you, Father, this. You know, when I started, when he prayed that prayer, I was, hey, I never said me. He should mention the things he wants God to do for me. The Lord was telling me how childish I am. Now I've grown up. So when I kneel and he starts, Father, I thank you for your son. I thank you for you have given to him. You have given him to me as my son. And as he's obedient to your word, I thank you for his blessing. I thank you for this. Thank you for his ministry. I thank you for his mouth. I thank you for the word that comes out of his mouth to bless people. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are blessed. Amen. It's gone. This is graceful prayer. And I receive the results. So if you're out there and you're a child of God, a pastor, a deacon, and you hit me by grace. You don't hit me because, you know, you want to hit me. It's because of the grace upon me. That's why you hit me. It's not my fault. Me, myself, I can't explain. So continue to hit me. And I'll continue to prosper on top of your head. Amen? Amen? Amen. Oh, amen? Amen. Be daring. So if I talk like this, what about the devil? It tight. It is a place where God says, and now I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And I've ever seen the devourer rebuked for my sake. That one, I can't do it myself. He, when he speaks, he does it for me. So in the church, that this is where you get your feed from. So it is wise. That is why people from outside, when they hear me, they said, I want to, hey man of God, I want to pay my tithe. I said, no. Pay your tithe to where you get your feed from. Ask apostle. Many of them come here. Sometimes people are offended because John Anointing will not take their tithe. And so because of that, I'm proud. I'm not. I am doing the right thing. Where you get your nourishment of the word of God from, that is where you pay your tithe. You can be a partner to me. You can partner the work of God, not with your tithe, but with seed. And say, every man, I want to commit $1,000 Ghana, $500 Ghana, $1,000 to the ministry God has committed to you. That one, you'll be a partaker of the grace upon my life, not tithe. Even though you hear me online, you can do it, but you are not in my ministry. But when you become a son of the ministry, then you qualify to. Sometimes people hate me because they think that, hey, OGM members, oh, hey, how many population do we have in Ghana? What's our population size? What's our population size now? Over 30 million people. All right. What is the highest mega church in Ghana? The number of the biggest church in Ghana, or biggest auditorium in Ghana? I was checking, it's about 11,000, 12,000, or let me give 20,000. You say what? 14,000, 15,000. 15,000 divided by 30 million. You see the number of divisions that we have not covered. Let's keep quiet and humble ourselves. There are so many people for everybody. Amen. If the Holy Ghost doesn't draw people to you, you cannot of yourself do nothing. There are people that come to your church for you to grow to a level, and when God sends them the last wine, they must switch and go and hear the last message. That is why the Pharisees, the scribes, have problems with Jesus. Because, you know, the better wine, the best wine is reserved for the last. So when the last people comes around, the best wine begins to flow. It doesn't take time and people begin to prosper. People are obedient to the word of God. Are you hearing me? But people have false sense of loyalty. I was born and bred in this church. Me too, I was born and bred in some church. But God told me, set yourself apart for the ministry I've called you for. Such as he spoke to Paul. Amen. And you see men of God who have gathered together. He's taking people. You are not serious. Is that what God called you into? Is that the communication? You are a fellow participator in the divine nature of God. Is that the communication of God? That is not the point. That you can see men of God fighting because of members. Members, my church. No, the church is not yours. It's for the Lord Jesus. Did you die? Did anybody die for anybody? Is who died? Our Lord died. So in all things, let's give him the preeminence. I am the type, if you come, I will tell you that go here and learn first. I have referred people, many people, to other ministries. People have come to me, want to come and join. I say, no, where you are, I see the man of God is about to be blessed. Support him and help him and intercede for him. And when he comes into the lamb like you too, you shall be part of it. So you don't know me. You don't know the heart I carry. That's why I speak like that. I speak boldly because I am convicted of what I'm speaking about. Are you hearing my point, somebody? And say, he doesn't know evangelism. If I start evangelism now, I will even win the people in your church. You don't know John. When it comes to evangelism, I've crossed rivers to do evangelism. I've killed snakes in rivers. We were swimming one day, we were crossing a river, they had rain. But we have traveled, you know, several hours in journey, a whole day. So we had to cross the river. And there were snakes coming from the river. It was, and they told us, do this. Just, you know, splash the water so that it goes with the... We have come face to face with pythons. And they diverted themselves. To win, go and win souls. So when we come around and God begins to give us access, it's because of something that he has seen that we can do. By his grace, by his strength. It's not by our own might and power. Are you hearing my point, somebody? I want you to be transformed by the word. The word. Say the word of God. You have to receive miracles by the word. I bless somebody by fire. I bless somebody by fire. Shout and celebrate Jesus in our midst. Now let me read this one before I close, so that next week I will consider tithing under the gospel. That is where all the blessings will start from. Tithing under worship, tithing under gospel. That is where my focus is. This one is to just give you knowledge. But what the Lord expects of you is what is under the gospel and the epistle. Thank you, Jesus. For the Bible says that under the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The nature and the lifestyle of God, how God wants us to be like and how he wants us to function is within the gospel. It's codified in the gospel. Glory. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings at all. Now let me read this one I wrote here by the Spirit. I said the Israelites did not think of tithes to be a gift offered to God, but rather payment they owed God. That is why it says, you own me and you have robbed me with tithes and offerings. They did not think that tithe was some kind of offering to God, or it was some kind of gift they wanted to offer to God. The Lord says that paid, when you don't pay, you have robbed me. That means they own God. You need, if you don't pay, you owe God. Now hear this. The owe God, who is the creator of all things, they were given as first fruit to God. So the whole Israelites were given as first fruit nation to God. And so everything they gave first to God was qualified them to live on the rest. Amen. They meant that God was giving, this meant that God was giving the first and the best of what they had. And whatever they had, 10% went to God. Right off the top. So right they get it, it belongs to God. You don't go and spend some before you come and... No. You don't do that. Thank you, Jesus. To add to that, they were encouraged to give voluntary offerings to God. Free will offerings to God. It was voluntary, like it was from their heart. This signified their expression of thankfulness and gratitude. They were also encouraged to give out of their willingness and periodically as when God requested from them. So there were times God requested that, I want you to do this for me. So he requested offerings from them. There were times he wanted them to do, even when he requested, you do it your free will. So I want people to give me gold. People who give gold come. I want people to give me this. People do. So they can say, people give 1,000, they can give. People give 100, they can give. People give this. According to your measure of faith. Thank you, Jesus. That is what it is in the word of God. So when you read the book of Luke, chapter number 18, the verse number 9 to 14 that we have read, people who did not want to do this thought that they were doing God a service, and so they had their own self-righteousness. And the Lord says, I don't need that one. The Lord said, I don't need that one. So, that was the message of tithe under the law. And this ushers me to the gospel. Next week, we shall talk about the gospel. And I decree and declare that as you believe and you begin to practice, do it. Tithe. And I will show you what I do. It's not by force, but you can pray for God to show you what you must do to your own. I will take time, do everything about my tithe, set up a different thing for it. The moment I get something, I separate the tithe of it. Before I use the ones that are left. The ones that are left, I take a seed out of it too. So that what comes to me will multiply all the time. If it's a faith operation of me, how I understand the word of God from the word of God's perspective. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that as you are a tither, you shall be a receiver in the name of Jesus of all the blessing that God has spoken about. Declare that I'm a tither. If you are not, repent of it and say, Father, I didn't understand it. Now I understand. So I will do. You are not condemned at all. So henceforth, I declare that I'm a tither. But if you're already a tither, declare. If you have come to be a tither, now declare it. Say, I'm a tither. I give my tithe by faith, and I have access to the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm a tither. I receive the blessing of tithe. The devourer is rebuked for my sake. In Jesus' name. Do you know who a devourer is? When I get there, I will explain everything to you about the devourer. Throughout the Bible, a devourer is someone, it's like when you are building and you go for, the car is coming with sand to heap it. A devourer is someone, when you come to your site, you will see that the person has used shovel to scatter, or excavator to scatter the sand all over the place. And it has filled the whole earth. Can you gather them again? That's the work of a devourer. He scatters everything you have ever earned. But I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for your spirit, soul, and body that you will prosper in the things of the spirit. Clap your hands and shout.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676 7655 +233 2676 7655 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com.